Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's runners started small in college with a few 5K plans until the stress of working front lines at a hospital during COVID turned running into more of a stress relief for her than something that was just fun to do. A few years later, she set her sights on a half marathon, and after some setbacks and a lot of trial and error, she found Bar Run Club in Atlanta, who helped her believe that running a marathon was also for people like her. But training meant squeezing long runs around a demanding work schedule, and by no means was training easy. She showed up to race day anyways, still carrying some doubt, but ready to take on the challenge. Unseasonable heat, GI issues starting mid-race, and a stretch where she had every reason to stop inevitably hit her, but what got her through it and what she took into a second marathon just months later are lessons that you're going to want to hear. Without further ado, let's jump into the episode. Please welcome Rachel. All right, Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm super excited to talk to you and break down your last two marathons since you've had two that have kind of been more recently. But before we jump into you and your story, I just thank you so much for coming on. We're excited to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, we always start at the beginning. So where did movement start for you? How did this like journey kick off for you?
So, I mean, I didn't grow up running. The first time that I really remember getting into running was a PE class senior year of high school. I mean, the only thing we had to do was like to pass that class would run a mile. And they were like, you can walk some of it. You can like run as much as you can. And I remember I went in going, okay, I'm terrible at running. I hate running. But then like the competitive side of me was like, okay, I'm going to run the entire thing. So I remember training so hard just to run that mile and ended up, I think, running like an 8-minute mile. It was a small class. But I ended up being the fastest one in that class. And I guess that kind of like brought out the more competitive side of me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, maybe this is fun. And so I started running really casually. Like we're talking maybe a mile a day. Not even every single day. And then I would run like a 5K a year. Like very, very casual and not consistently at all. And then when I got to college, there were like some little amateur run clubs, like some of the college club sports. And so I did one of those like couch to 5K programs a few times. Sure. But I don't really remember getting more into it until after college. And it was actually right around when COVID hit. That was just like, okay, I'm getting out and exercising for my mental health.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like the being stuck inside, going stir crazy. It was, I need an outlet because I work in a hospital. So I did not get to stay home. I was at the front line of everything. So that was just an outlet for me. And even then, it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to chase the super high mileage. It was just like, there were some days I would leave work stressed out or like, even just angry. And so it's like, I need an outlet or I'm going to go crazy. And so I started chasing like higher and higher mileage, but it wasn't until about 3 years ago that I was like, you know what? I think I want to go for a half marathon. Like it wasn't even, okay, I've run a 5K. Let me do a 10K next. It was like half marathon seems fun.
Yeah.
Started training for it. It took about three different tries. I would make it halfway through a training block, get injured. And like, it was one of those things that it's like, okay, let me step back, reassess. I was using just like random training plans I'd find on the internet.
Yeah.
And then I started kind of researching more like how to get into it. So it was like, it was one of those like really long processes where I was like, I'm going to reach this goal. And then it was shortly after my first half that I found Bar Run Club, and it was like I think that pushed me to want to run even more halves. The year that I did my first half, I ran three more that year, because I was like, okay, this is addicting. And I never really thought a marathon was a possibility for me. It was just like one of those things that it's like, okay, that's I assume that I just can't do it. Or
Yeah.
like, especially for my first half, I remember like really struggling the last half of it. And so I got to, I think about mile 10 and was like, nope, never gonna do a marathon. Like, I can't imagine like trying to get through these last 3 miles and then running 13 more.
Right.
And then it was after, I guess, my fourth half marathon that I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting into the routine of these long runs. And it's like, okay, if I can make it to mile 10, I have 3 more miles left. And then I kind of started to think, okay, maybe I can do a full
Yeah,
marathon.
what if? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like one of those things where it's like you get addicted to pushing yourself.
Yes.
But I honestly don't think I would have decided I could run a full marathon if it weren't for joining Run Club.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those things that it's like, okay, I'm running with people who have similar goals and we're kind of pushing each other. We're all kind of suffering together.
Yeah.
And the really cool thing was when I decided to officially start training for my first marathon, the majority of my run club at the time was also training for a marathon.
Oh, good timing.
So
Yeah.
yeah, that was the perfect timing where it was like, okay, I'm doing a lot of long run, like run club days, we would all just do our long runs together. And I really don't think I would have made it through training if it weren't for having that to look forward to. Because there were some days, even like the midweek long runs, it was like, okay, I'm out here doing 10 miles by myself.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to do a half marathon or more on my own every single weekend?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't think would have wanted to keep going through that training if it weren't for finding Run Club and like everyone encouraging me. And so, yeah, it was just like one of those things that I always assumed it wasn't a possibility, especially with my work schedule, because I work night shift in a hospital. Always told myself the schedule doesn't work. Like I have to trying to be up at night on my off days, and like I can't just go out
Yeah,
running in the
that's crazy.
dark. Like
Yeah.
I don't have a gym membership. I don't want to pay for a gym membership. So it was also like, how can I be creative about working these training runs into my schedule? And that was one of those things that almost made me not want to do it, because it's like I just assumed, oh, this doesn't fit with my lifestyle
Right.
and like my work schedule. And like going in knowing training is practically a full-time job.
Right. Oh, totally. It
So.
definitely is. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to dive more into that, like how you were able to fit running around your life, or I guess your life around running. But obviously, I'm a little biased with barre specifically because I host the Raleigh chapter of barre. But like, what was
Yes.
it about barre for you, or just run club for you? Like outside of maybe just like the encouragement, but just like the routine of it all. Like how was that impactful or helpful for you in training for your first marathon?
I mean, I think, like I said, just looking forward to running with a group, pushing each other. It was almost a little bit of FOMO. Like, I would show up to run clubs, and it's like, okay, everyone's doing a long run today. And it's like, if I just give up on my training plan, then it's like, okay, I'm gonna show up and do my measly little miles, and then everyone else gets to keep running, and I'm not
Yeah.
trained for it.
Yeah.
So I think that's really a lot of what got me through training was actually looking forward to those long runs.
Yeah.
Because it's like
I
you're
think
running with friends and it's like the time just flies by.
Yes. And I think there's something to be said there about what you just said about like having people around you that are maybe like slightly in more shape or have like done a little bit more than you, like to push you. 'Cause I think that, like you said in the beginning, when you were running your halves, like you never could imagine yourself even like even wanting to attempt running double what you were running for the half. So, I think there's something to be said about having people around you that have done that like are like you and have similar lives to you and are just people and not, you know, crazy elite athletes doing something crazy. Did you feel like that helped, like having a community of people around you that were, you know, like maybe slightly in ahead of you in your running journey, so you had something to like shoot for?
Oh yeah. And it was also training alongside the run club, and I mean even just meeting up with friends outside of the run club, and just being reminded it's okay to take walk breaks. That doesn't and that's a lot of what got me through training, is just like the message behind bar. That's like any pace, like forward is a pace, basically.
Yes.
That's what I
Yeah.
kept telling myself. And it doesn't matter how slow you are, how fast you are, how many walk breaks you take. If you get out and run, you're a runner. And because, like, I remember during my first half, like about the halfway point, I was like, okay, I've got to take a walk break. And I was absolutely beating myself up about that. And I had a certain pace that I wanted to hit, couldn't maintain it. And just the perfectionist in me was like, okay, I stopped to walk during a half marathon. Like, not that it didn't count, but it was like I had all these expectations for I want to be able to run the whole thing, and sometimes that's just not realistic.
Right.
And just like things to work up towards. And I kept telling myself, if I can't run a whole half marathon, how am I going to do a full marathon?
Yeah.
But like, I just, and every time I hear like anything along the lines of it's not the pace you run, you're still finishing that distance. Like,
Yeah.
that's what kind of got me through.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so true. And it's so funny the like prerequisites we give ourselves to running a marathon. It's like I have to be at this pace, or I have to be able to run this many miles, or I have to do the, and it's like we made that up. I did the same thing. Like I just made stuff up that were like, "Oh, I can't run a marathon until I do this." But until you run the marathon, you're like, "That was kind of silly of me to like put barriers in front of me to do this." It's hard enough to just start. So, well, good. So obviously you found Bar, you found like your kind of community that would push you to run your first marathon. I guess like walk us through that decision. When did you decide that you were going to run your first marathon, and how did all that look?
I think it was after my fifth half marathon. So it was the first, like half marathon in the spring of 2025. And I started kind of mentally like counting the months, going, okay, this is how much time I need to like to start training. And like literally mapped it out on a calendar, like, okay, this is the race I want to do, because my first marathon actually happened to be the one that I had done the half the previous year and really liked the
Okay.
course.
Yeah.
And I have family in Augusta, so it was like the perfect excuse to visit them, not worry about hotels. And so I kind of kept telling myself, okay, yeah, I'm gonna train for the marathon. But I didn't really fully process it until I started week one.
Okay,
That I was
yeah.
like, okay, I'm in this. But and I kept being like, okay, I can still back out. And I didn't actually, so it was in October. I didn't actually register for it, I think, until about September.
Okay. So
Because
you
it was one of
started
those things
training
that it's
before.
like, yeah, like
Okay. Yeah.
months before. And I would go to the race website and be like, okay, there's this many spots left, I have time. And it was kind of coming from a place of, first started it, I was like, okay, I'm in this training plan, but still kind of half doubting whether I could do it. So I
Yeah.
was like, I'm not going to register until I get to like whatever point of time in the training plan. I think I said, like, if I can make it halfway, then I'll register. And about the first month of training, I was still like, oh yeah, I'm training for a marathon, but still wasn't like, didn't mentally believe that I was running a marathon. I was like, okay, I'm logging all these training runs. And at that point, like a month in, I think I had started telling people that I was planning on running a marathon, but it was still like, I didn't quite believe it. I think it wasn't until I got past a 10-mile long run, because that's the longest I'd ever run training for a half marathon, was 10 miles was peak week. It wasn't until I got past that 10-mile long run that I was like, okay, this is getting real. Like, I'm running a half marathon or more every single weekend. And it was also, when I started telling a lot of people in the run club that I was training for a marathon, like I had still hadn't signed up yet, I was when I kind of started to believe it myself. And then of course there's like the nervousness of, okay, when do I want to register? Like in my head going, okay, there's still time for me to decide I don't want to do this, or there's still time for me to get injured. And yeah, I think the first half of my training block, it was just in the back of my mind, like, am I really doing this? I don't know. And it wasn't that the training block wasn't going well. It was like there were some run, like I know not everyone's gonna feel good, especially training in the middle of the summer. But yeah, it wasn't until halfway that I really started to believe, okay, I'm running a marathon. And then I remember finally registering like a little under 2 months before and going, okay, this is getting real. Like there's no going back now.
That's so interesting. So you had like kind of this like doubt in the back of your head of like should I fully commit to this or not? Maybe like protecting yourself in some way, like protecting if it didn't go well. So like you said, you had like some injury experiences in the past that probably had something to do with that. When did you feel like you actually got over the hump? Was that like a specific run that you remember where you were like, okay, like I can sign up for the marathon now if I can do this? Like what finally got you over the hump of accepting that you were actually going to run that marathon?
I don't remember a specific run, because I remember like once I got past 10 miles, it was like, okay, just survive every long run. I know I did reach a point of time where the doubt kind of started to set in, because the week that I had to do a 15-mile long run, I actually got invited to a group long run. Like Travis invited me, some bar people, and then some of his friends. So it was a large group of us. I remember just barely making it through that long run. Like, worst long run ever. I started to just absolutely not be able to hold the pace. Like, I was having major GI issues. I remember like stopping several times, thinking I was going to throw up, and walked the entire about last 4 miles of that long run. And that was the one long run that I remember thinking, can I do this? Can I maintain the pace to finish? Because one of the things that kind of added to the doubt that I had in the back of my mind was the time limit. Because my first marathon was a 6-hour time limit, and I was just running the paces in my head going like, this is the pace I have to maintain. And I think it was like a 15 or 16 minute pace to finish in that time limit. And I was like, okay, I can easily do that. Like I'm running 11 minute paces, but then every time I would stop to walk, I would look at my watch and go, okay, that's a 17 minute pace or an 18 minute pace. And every time I would stop to walk, it was like, okay, I'm freaking out. Like, I'm adding to my time. And it was after that 15-mile long run that I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Luckily, a week later, I did a 16-mile long run. I don't remember it going really well, but it just like it went smoothly. It was like, okay, I stopped to
It
walk,
felt good.
but I looked at my average paces afterward, and I was like, okay, My average paces between running and walking, I was maintaining like 12 or 13 minutes. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of in that safe buffer.
So you had the run that like knocked you back a peg, but then you also had the run that gave you some confidence. Which I we're gonna have those runs, like you said, like it's gonna happen every single block. But you got them back to back, so I'm glad that the one that like was encouraging was the second of the two, and that kept you going. Where did you peak? Did you peak at 20? Was that your longest run? Okay, nice. How did that go? That's usually the one that's like the same experience. Like it goes well, we get some confidence. It doesn't go well, it can kind of shake us a little bit. So how did that one go for you?
Oh man, that my 20-mile run was brutal. I mean, it was during the heat of summer. I not even thinking about it, because I was just trying to find a trail near me that it was like, okay, 10 miles out, 10 miles back, and a trail that I knew pretty well. And didn't even think about the fact that a lot of it was not shaded. I started as early as I possibly could. Like trying to keep in mind, okay, I don't want to start in the dark because I'm running by myself. I want to be safe. So I started, I got to the trail just basically as soon as the sun came up. But I was like, okay, I know it's going to get hot because I'm going to be out there for at least 4 hours. And so it was direct sunlight, hillier than I remembered it being. So the first 10 miles of it went really, really well. And then I got to mile 12 and the GI issues kicked in. I couldn't take in any more fuel. And that's when like that started to really shake my confidence, because I'm like, I'm behind on my fueling. I was getting in my head about that. Because that was also one of the things that I was really, really stressed about, was staying on track with fueling, because I feel like once I get behind with that, it's all over. And so I got to mile 12, made myself run to mile 14, and then after that, I couldn't take in any more fuel. Like I could barely take in water, because I was like, if I put anything else in my stomach, I'm going to throw up. So the last 6 miles of that run, it was walking as fast as I could, and then I'd run a quarter mile at a time. And that's when I really started getting in my head about, okay, I haven't even made it to 20 miles. Like at mile 16, I was like, how am I supposed to run 10 more miles after this?
Yeah, so that one messed with you, it sounds like, right before taper. Well, before we talk about taper, I don't want to go too far. I wanted to talk about you talked about like training around your work schedule and all of that. So like, yeah, let's get into to taper in a second. But yeah, how were you fitting in all of these long runs like around your life? You're out there for 3 hours in some cases, like you said. So how did all that fit into your life?
That was tricky. There were most days, like especially tricky working around the weather too, because I mean, if it were like a shorter run, like a 5 mile run, I could pretty easily get off of work 7 a.m. and go out and run and be fine, like beat the heat. Even like 7 or 8 miles, I was pretty good doing right after work. And then I would go home and crash. If it was longer than like that 7 or 8 miles, I would go home, nap for a few hours, and then kind of like have to time it to where like late enough in the evening that I was missing like the hottest part of the day, but then timing it so that I wasn't ending up running by myself in the dark. So that was really, really tricky. Because I was so hard on myself about not missing any runs, but I was like, okay, my safety is more important. And there were a few times that like one of the parks that's near me, I got really comfortable running, not total dark, but it's a well-lit park. And usually has a lot of people, like even in the evening. So I did get really comfortable running there closer to dark to still get in my miles, but it was also the kind of park, like it was really, really small. So especially if I had a longer run, it was like,
It's a lot
okay,
of
I'm running
loops.
in circles, yeah, and just driving myself crazy. But it was just like having to be so creative about getting my runs in, but not like killing myself in the heat, which of course, if I was killing myself in the heat, I feel like that would mess with my confidence even more because I'm like, okay, I know I'm not hitting the paces just because it's hot.
I have so much sympathy for people who are training for their first marathons, like right now in July, because it's so hard to know until you're on the other side of it that like that your pace will improve and you will feel stronger once fall hits. Like this is just the most uncomfortable period, but it is, for first marathoners training through the summer, it is brutal. It can really mess with you. But it sounds like you yeah, although you had to get like pretty creative, it sounds like you were able to find a way to make it work, even if it was just like getting it in whenever you could. Would you say that you were able to fit running around your life more, or like life more so around running, if that makes sense? Like what was taking a back seat when something needed to take a back seat?
Honestly, and like it from week to week, it kind of depended. I feel like I got to where I was kind of scheduling life around running, which I kind of swore I would never become that person because I'm like, this is not my job. I'm not like an elite athlete. Like at the same time, it kind of made me feel cool to be like, okay, I'm scheduling something around running. Like I have a long run. Like I can't do like whatever on the weekend because I have a long run. But yeah, it really did depend week to week, but I did find myself kind of like if I had some appointment like on a certain day, I'd be like, okay, let me schedule it at this time because I know at this time I'm gonna wanna run. If it was a day that I knew I'd be running early morning and I had like a doctor's appointment or something, it was like, okay, let me schedule all my appointments midday when I know I'm not gonna be out running in the heat.
It makes sense. I only ask because like it sounds like you were crazy busy with your work schedule and all that. So it is, you do have to get really, really creative, but it is funny when you hit that point in training where you have to start to really think about those things and be really intentional about when you're going to get your runs, because there's fewer and fewer blocks the longer and longer your runs start to get. So that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so back to but It's a brief intermission. Back to your 20-mile run. So that didn't go super well, or went well. Like you were able to get in the miles, but it didn't go the way that you potentially hoped that it would. How did that affect your confidence going into taper over the next couple of weeks?
That was when I really, really started to doubt myself. And like, obviously, it was like, okay, I'm like 2 or 3 weeks away from this race. I'm signed up. It kind of felt like, I mean, there's no turning back. I remember just absolutely beating myself up after that run. Like, part of me was proud that I was like, okay, this is the longest I've ever ran. And part of me was like, kind of assuming that I wasn't going to make the cutoff. Like I never regretted telling people that I was running a marathon. Because I know, like, I hear some people say that they don't tell people they're doing some big event just in case something happens. Like, they keep it a secret until it's over with, and they're like, surprise, I ran this big event. So it was the kind of thing that I was putting pressure on myself because I knew, like, a lot of people were kind of cheering me on and kind of waiting for the aftermath of that to hear how it went. And I'm like, man, I'm gonna be so embarrassed if I have to tell people that I didn't finish in time or something happened and I had to DNF. And like after that 20-mile run too, a few days later, I started to have like not pain, but just discomfort in my hip. And that freaked me out even more. I was like, oh no, I've done all this training and now I'm injured. And I had heard a lot about the taper crazies and people telling me like it is so normal to feel injured or even to feel sick. during taper.
Yes, yeah.
And I mean, I was messaging Travis. I even texted Nicole a few times going, "What do I do? Like, help. Like, is this normal?" And Nicole was so sweet. She sent me all these voice messages, like talking me through it, going, "You will be okay."
Yeah.
And so that was super helpful, like hearing from people who had a few marathons under their belt. I was still like getting in my head about possibly being injured, but I like just that last 2 weeks, I was telling myself, okay, it's fine. This is just the taper crazies. Like,
Yeah.
I'm gonna wake up on race day and be totally fine. Turns out I may have gone into race day actually slightly injured.
Oh no.
If I took ibuprofen before I went out for a run, I was fine. And then, like, I was hurting a little bit after. So, in hindsight, probably not the best idea to hit
Sure.
every single run.
Sure.
But me being a
Sure.
perfectionist, I was like, I can't miss a run.
Yeah.
So, that was the one thing that now having experienced my first marathon, I'm like, okay, it is okay to miss runs, especially during taper.
Yes.
But I mean, when
For
I
the
tell
sake of your
you
health,
I
especially.
was,
Yes.
yeah, when
Yeah.
I tell you I was constantly Googling, like, how much can I skip? How many miles do I need to maintain? Because I'd always heard people say, like, there's a science behind tapering. Like, you want to maintain this amount of mileage to get your legs ready, but then this is the amount of rest you need. And I was just driving myself crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's what taper's all about, right? It's just going absolutely insane, especially for your first. I feel
Yeah.
like it's like amplified on a whole other level
Yeah.
when it's your first marathon. But yeah, that's a really uncomfortable feeling. And knowing or if you can skip or not, like it's almost you almost don't have that the intuitive like the same intuitiveness that you have after you ran other races to know like what's an injury and what's a taper injury
Yeah.
when you haven't gone through that before. I'm so glad that you had bar support like through that because that probably helped a lot, I would imagine, just having people that have done it like tell you that it's
Yeah.
you're okay. Take a deep
Yeah.
breath. But yeah, it still really rocks the confidence. So I guess like if we fast forward a little bit to race day and you're kind of standing at the start line, like how did that change? How were you feeling when you were finally there? It was in the moment, you were like ready to rock.
It was kind of halfway between, okay, this is it. Like, let's get this done. But then also, like, and I was super excited standing at the start line, but it was also like, oh my goodness, I could throw up. I
Yeah.
have to run 26 miles and there's no turning back.
Yeah. It's polar opposites, those two feelings, but having them at the same time. Okay, cool. Well, let's go ahead and break down the race now. So like, yeah, let's talk about your first marathon. Well, let's break it up maybe in half. So if you want to talk about like how the first half of the race went first and then start, you can kind of take it from there. But what was training or running your first marathon like?
So the first half was amazing. I tend to get really, really emotional at every single start line. I mean, whether it's a 10K, a half, and going into my first marathon, it was like, okay, I've made it to the start line. I've put in all the work. And of course, there was the nervousness of, okay, how's my hip gonna hold up? Knowing, okay, I might be a little bit injured. I was actually really pleasantly surprised that it didn't bother me the entire first half.
Nice.
It could have been the excitement and the adrenaline. I just
Yeah.
didn't even feel it.
Yeah.
And it was like every single mile I got through, it was almost like, okay, I reached mile one, don't cry. Reached the 5K point, don't cry. And it was
Yeah.
like obviously like happy emotions.
Sure.
But it was also like the best decision ever that I decided to use like the Run with Rally app where you
Oh,
can
yeah.
have
Oh,
people
love that
record
one.
voice messages.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, every single voice message that played, like every single mile, I was crying because I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm hearing people cheering for me. I'm getting all these really sweet messages.
Yeah.
My hip is not hurting.
It's a distraction. Yeah, it's great. I love
So,
that one.
and I really distinctly remember the first 10 miles being like they just flew by. And they like I felt on top of the world. Like, okay, I'm gonna be okay. I'm holding paces faster than I thought I could. And like I know this about myself that I always go out too fast because just the excitement and
Don't
the
we all? We all do that.
adrenaline.
It's
But it
natural.
was also just like super proud of myself, but I'm
Yeah.
like, wow, I'm doing this. And then I got past 10. I got to about the halfway point, and it was like, okay, this is the furthest I've ever raced. Like I've done multiple half marathons, so once I got past that first half of it, I was like, okay, just another half marathon to go. And it was around mile 14 that I really remember starting to feel my hip a little bit. Like it wasn't pain, it was just a little bit of soreness.
Yeah.
I was still in the mindset of I'm having fun, I'm distracted by the crowds and the voice messages playing in my headphones. And then right after mile 14 was when I started to have some stomach cramping.
Oh
And I was
no.
like, oh no, here we go.
Yeah.
I forced myself to take one more gel to get me to mile 16. And then, like, I just kind of talked myself through, like, 4 miles after that to get to mile 20. I was taking in Gatorade, and, like, the salt tablets.
Yeah.
And it was really like getting myself to mile 20 just on salt tablets and Gatorade.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really after mile 16 that I remember thinking, okay, I have 10 more miles. How the heck am I going to get through this with now my hip is hurting, my stomach is cramping, and race day also ended up being hotter than I expected it would
Of
be. I
course.
mean,
Of course, why
it
would it
was
not be?
Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Just remember, like, all the way through summer training, I'm like, I'm just looking forward to a fall race because this is middle of October.
Right.
And when I had ran the half the year before, the temperature was in the 50s. And I was like, okay, perfect. It's going to be fall weather. I get to race day. The high that day was 78.
No. Oh my gosh, that's a big difference.
Yeah. So I was like, this is not the fall weather I was hoping for.
Yeah.
And it's just when I get into direct sunlight, just immediately my stomach starts cramping.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was once I got to mile 16 that I was like, can I do this?
Yeah. Oh, that's tough. 78 in October, especially like it was like October 18th, right? So it was like middle to end of October. That's crazy. That's something that you can't really plan for, even if you live somewhere that's hot. So yeah, so the GI issues. So did you take in any fuel after, besides like Gatorade and salt tablets, like after mile 16? Were you able to get anything else down?
So I right around mile 20, I managed to get down like half a gel because I
Okay.
was like, I've got to get something down to make it through this last 10K.
Right.
So I struggled to get that half a gel down, but I did. And then after that, it was just every single aid station. I was like, okay, give me Gatorade. I need
Yeah.
Gatorade. I need electrolytes. Like I could feel just like the salt on my face. I was
Yeah.
like, I am very dehydrated.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so tough. I guess like in the moment, if w what were you saying to yourself? Like what was the motivation for you to keep moving forward when your hip's hurting and you're feeling dehydrated and it's continuing to feel like worse and worse? Like what was keeping you going?
It was really just breaking it down into like, okay, 5K, such an easy distance, or just make it 2 more miles. And like, I mean, it even got down to make it every half mile.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, of course, once you get past that 20 miles, it's like, here we go, uncharted territory. And I actually, like, the half marathon or the full marathon course was two loops.
Okay.
Because like it was a really, really small race. And I remember, or I think the last lap we had to run like a quarter of the half marathon course. Either way, like when I got back to like the start line, we only had 6 miles left. And at that point, like the family that I was staying with, I saw her at like going through back through the start line. And that was the first time I had seen my family the entire race.
Oh my
And it
gosh, yeah.
was perfect timing because it was like, okay, I'm about to pass this 20-mile mark, the furthest I've ever run. And I remember passing her and hearing her say, okay, uncharted territory. See you in
Yeah,
6 miles.
here we go. Yeah. Oh, that's such good timing,
So,
though.
yeah. And like when I saw her, I could have cried. I was like, this is exactly the boost of energy I need to see a familiar face,
Yeah.
like in that last 6 miles, especially when that doubt is setting in that it's like past mile 16, my hips hurting, and knowing I've never run more than 20 miles. So that was just the biggest boost of energy.
Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect timing. But then you're right. Like that next six is really a grind. That's like the uncharted territory. You mentally, you start to feel it. Physically, you're feeling it obviously already. I guess like, yeah, walk us through the final few miles before you cross the finish line.
So, I think it was when I got to about mile 22. That's the point where I started telling myself, this is going to be the longest 4 miles. And I don't know what it was about the 4 miles that kind of clicked in my head. I don't know. I guess it was because the majority of my easy runs were like I would start the week with 4 miles. And so I was telling myself, okay, this is just another easy run. And then of course you get to the 3 miles and it's like, okay, it's just a 5K. Like I run 5Ks all the time.
Yeah.
But it was really just that mental game of like less than an hour to go. Like if I maintain this pace less than an hour, I can run for an hour. And just like kind of mentally fighting with myself about like maintaining just a good running pace is getting harder and harder, but then at the same time the amount of mileage I have left should be easy. Like
Yeah.
2 miles should be easy, but it doesn't feel easy. So it was about I think the last 2 miles when I really started getting emotional and not like a happy emotional like just telling myself I am tired of this. Like I am
I'm
ready to
ready to
be
be
done. I'm
done.
so over
Yes.
this.
Yeah.
And like also telling myself like why did I decide to do this? Never doing this again.
Right. Yep. We hit that moment. That moment comes up for
Yeah.
everybody for in at some point. But yeah, the like,
Questioning all life
what did I
choices.
do? What did I do to myself? Yeah, we know that feeling very well. But obviously you kept going, and you fought through that, and obviously that like that decision point. I'm actually gonna. F It's funny. I'm actually gonna film an episode about this right after we stop talking about that like decision point where you
Yeah.
could stop. You have every right to stop. It feels really bad. It's like you
Yeah.
could just pull off the course and be done. But that I feel like that decision point where we decide to keep going, whether it feels good or not,
Yeah.
like we decide to keep going, that is such an important moment in like our running journey as a whole. 'Cause that like teaches us something. It teaches us we're so much stronger than we think that we're capable
Yeah.
of. It's like I hate this and I hate everything about this and I'm gonna do it anyways. So such an interesting like moment in
Yeah.
a race. But fast forwarding to the finish line, because you did get there. What was that like? What was it like crossing the finish line of your first marathon?
Oh my goodness, that was just like I still play that over and over in my head. I remember seeing that finish line and it's just like in that moment all of a sudden, okay, nothing hurts. I am like
Yeah.
sprinting towards that finish line. And it was the kind of thing that happens both really fast slow motion all at the same time. And yeah, when I cross that finish line, like, biggest wave of emotion. And like, I hear people say all the time, you only finish your first marathon once. And I just, like, to anyone who hasn't run a marathon, I just can't even describe it. It was just the most special feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so much time that leads up to, like, that singular, like you said, that super quick second, like, all that time that you put into training, all the sacrifices that you had to make, all the, like, fitting life around your running and all of that. It leads to one singular moment. So it is very overwhelming to like, feel all of the emotions of training all at the same time. But like you said, it's something that you can't describe unless you've done it and felt it for yourself. But you did it. You ran your first marathon. And I always love, we're going to talk about your second marathon a little bit too, because I know you ran that like shortly after. But before we move on to that, like, what do you feel like in all the lessons that you learned from training for your first marathon, like, what's a piece of advice or something that you would offer somebody who is thinking about running their first marathon or maybe going through training right now?
I would say, especially for a first marathon, to like, not put so much pressure on yourself. Because it definitely does take the fun out of it when you go in, like, setting such a high bar for yourself. It's fun to challenge yourself. It's fun to set goals for yourself. But one of the things that I would definitely do differently is just like not putting that pressure on myself of having a specific time goal other than just the cutoff time. Because I just remember at like some points of in training, stressing myself out so much and having to remind myself, this is supposed to be fun. I'm choosing to do this. Like, no one's making me do this.
Yeah, that's great. We're not elite athletes. We can treat it, you know, like we can approach it the same and take it seriously. But at the end of the day, like, it is our own journey, and we can do what we need to do, and you know, make it fit around mold it into what we want it to be, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So,
and I really love it when I see, especially like in kind of the slower runner community, is people kind of saying, well, if you're a slower runner, you spend more time on your feet. So.
Yeah.
Makes us better.
It makes us better. And, you know, it probably evens out in the end. Either you're running fast and you're doing your thing, or you're running for a really long time. And like, either way, those are two type two fun. Those are two levels of hard that like deserve the same recognition and attention for sure. But cool. So I know us talking beforehand that you ran your second marathon shortly after that. Obviously we don't have to like dive into all the miles, but if you want to talk about like, what were some of the things that you took from your first marathon into your second marathon that you felt like you maybe learned or did differently?
So I definitely, I mean, especially during taper, I did kind of learn not to be such a perfectionist about hitting every single mile. It's like, okay, I've trained up to that peak week. I've kind of proven to myself that I can hit these miles each week, no matter what pace, just like getting that time on feet. It was just like the second time around, I think it was just a different mentality of, I know that I've run these distances before. And definitely having more fun with it, which I know like there are some things that it's like, you can't really know until you've experienced it.
Sure.
So it's like when I trained for my first marathon, it's like, okay, I'm running all these distances for the very first time. So like, I don't know that I can run them until I do it. And so the second time around, it definitely was like, I wouldn't say it was easier, but it was just like having the confidence of, okay, I've run these distances before. I know what I've experienced during each long run, and that I can push myself.
Yeah, that having that context is so helpful. It does make every run feel like more, I don't know, you can like zoom out from it a little bit more, I feel like. I don't know if that felt the same for you, but like, yeah, for my second marathon, I was like, okay, my 50-mile run last time went really good. This one went really bad, but I've had a good one before. So I know that not every 15-mile run is going to feel like this, or I know that it's not like a lack of me being capable of something. Like I've done this before. So it's like, it gives you context, I guess, is what it is. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess like generally, if you, how did your second marathon end up for you? Like what did you learn or take from that second experience?
So, like, overall, training for it was probably the most fun I've had training, because it was like going into it already having experienced all that. I felt so strong. And I was surprised at how strong I felt, especially after my first one, coming out of that injured. Yeah. Actually ended up going to physical therapy for that injury. It was just a totally different experience. And I think because I was kind of like, I won't say forced into physical therapy, but it was like going to physical therapy to get past that injury, it forced me to add strength training into my routine, which made such a big difference.
Nice.
And it was also such a fun training block because I was training with my best friend for her first marathon.
Oh, exciting. Which is, so you got to pay honestly, it forward.
Yeah, which is honestly the only reason that I ran one so soon, because I was like, okay, I'm not running one for a while. And then she wanted to run her first one. And I had promised her I'd run her first half with her. And so, like, right after, it was like 2 weeks after my first marathon, I started training for that half marathon. And then went straight into the next marathon training block after that. And so, yeah, that's the only reason that I did that second one within 6 months. I was like, I might be a little bit crazy for doing this. but it was so fun just, like, getting to train along someone, because it was just, like, every single run was so much fun.
Yeah.
And it kind of – it gave me the chance to also not be so hard on myself, because it was the kind of thing where I was telling myself, okay, I'm not really alone with my thoughts.
Yeah.
And it was so fun getting to push each other. I think getting to train two back-to-back races alongside someone actually helped me get faster, because I wasn't so focused on my paces. It was just like, we're running, we're pushing each other, we're controlling our paces because we're talking the whole time.
Yeah.
So it gave me a chance to just kind of forget about the paces that I was going for and just have fun with it, and then surprise myself by the paces I was able to hit.
Yeah.
So after a really strong training block, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go sub five. Like, I'm hitting the paces to go sub five, because my first marathon was right at 5.5 hours. And I was like, okay, that seems like that's a huge PR to hit. I was like, can I really take 30 minutes off of my time? But just like based on the paces that I was hitting during training. And then of course you get like the little, like the things on Strava that say this is how fast we think you can run these distances, and then like Garmin does the same thing. And so I was like, okay, these seem fairly accurate. So I had like all these high hopes for, okay, I'm gonna get sub five, I'm gonna maintain this pace the entire time. And yeah, the marathon itself did not go as planned.
Okay.
Was just one of those races that, like, and obviously I didn't have a whole lot of experience with marathons, having only run one.
Sure.
But that was one of the toughest races I've ever experienced. I didn't expect for the weather to get so hot.
Yeah.
Like, it was a spring race. I knew it would be mid-60s. And the entire course was completely flat.
Oh, brutal.
And so part of me was like, okay, it'll be easy because it's flat. But then it wasn't until I was out there on the course that I realized, you know what? I think I kind of prefer a little bit of change in elevation because
Yeah.
it keeps me guessing. It keeps things interesting.
100%. Agree with that 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. But the entire course was also like the countryside of North Carolina. Absolutely no shade. And like it was only mid-60s, but in that direct sunlight, it felt about 90 degrees.
Yeah, that's brutal.
It was brutal. I think I got to about the 6 mile mark and was already having GI distress.
Oh, that's so
So,
tough. So didn't they?
most brutal race.
Yeah, so the training block went really, really well. I don't know. I've said this so many times, and you coming off that marathon, you're probably like, girl, I know, but like the marathon just owes you nothing, and that's so heartbreaking sometimes to have those like amazing training blocks and then just have the race not pay you in the way that you deserve to be paid. Like it's so tough. So I guess like coming out of that experience, when was that? Was that this last spring, 2026 spring?
Yeah, that was back in April.
In April. Okay, cool. So I guess, yeah, coming out of that, how are you feeling? Are you deterred from the marathon? Are you motivated to do it again? How are you feeling?
Honestly, I think I definitely want to do another one. I keep like every time I see some upcoming marathon, I'm like, no, give myself a break.
Yeah.
'Cause even though that race itself was just so brutal, I just remember like the entire training block was so much fun, and it was I just like the entire training block, I just remember feeling so proud of myself the entire time. Like I'm maintaining all these crazy miles per week. I feel so strong. And like when I think about training for another marathon, it's not really the race itself that I remember. Like when I think about, do I want to do this again? I mean, at least for my second one, it was the training block
Yeah.
that I was like, I'm having so much fun. I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life. And like even after that marathon, I think I only took about a week off and was right back to it.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I know we'll save like what's coming up next for you for a second, but I know you got a race coming up, so we'll talk about that. But before we do that, let's wrap up with some of our fun questions. So we'll talk about fuel and shoes. Anytime we talk about fuel and shoes, I always like give the disclaimer that this is your own journey. Please try anything and everything for fuel. Find out what's best for you. Same thing with shoes. Go to your local running store, find out what's best for you when it comes to shoes. But for you specifically, what have you liked for fuel options over time?
Fuel has been one of the hardest things for me to dial in,
Yeah.
especially just with the GI issues. Like, 'cause you never know what a particular day is going to throw at you, like weather-wise, how you're feeling. Right now, feel like I've had the most success with Precision Fuel,
Okay, yeah.
like the gels specifically, because my struggle with fueling has always been taking in enough carbs per hour, but also trying not to put too much into my stomach because I really struggle with volume. So my first few races, the gels that I was using, they just like I wasn't getting enough fuel per hour like to sustain running and not hitting a wall.
Yeah.
And then I'm really also trying to dial in electrolytes. So I used to just primarily put electrolytes in my water bottle, but then learning that I struggle with volume, I'm like, I'm not taking them in fast enough. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not going through an entire water bottle in a single hour. And so I have really liked the salt stick chews. Because those, especially the flavors that are tart, those also like I love to have something sour. Like when I start to get flavor fatigue or like the nausea sets in, those I feel like have really saved me when I start to hit a wall.
Yeah.
Saved my life the last 6 miles of my first marathon.
Yeah, I love the salt stick chews too. I had to switch to the pills at a certain point because I started to get like flavor fatigue last year, but just with like flavor in general. So I was starting to try to find what had zero flavor, but I did the chews for a long time. Love those. Those are great. Yeah. Well, cool. And then shoes. What do you like for shoes?
So since last year, I've been obsessed with the Nike Vomeros.
Oh, love those. Yeah.
I used to be primarily New Balance, but I during training for the first marathon tried out the Nike Vomeros and have honestly never gone back.
Love it. That's great. I love those too. And they come in really fun colors. And I love a shoe that
Oh, I
comes in a fun
know.
color.
Too
That's so
many colors
funny.
to choose from.
Yeah, right. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much again for telling your story and even talking about your second marathon and what's changed. But I know you have a very fun goal for this year. You want to talk about what race is coming up next for you?
Yes, so this has been a bucket list race of mine for the past 2 years. I'm running the Detroit International Half Marathon. So it starts in Detroit, crosses up into Canada, and then comes back through basically an underwater tunnel.
Yeah.
And so I'm running that with some of my cousins and my aunt and uncle. So we're making it a big family trip.
Fun. Are they doing the full?
No, we're all doing the half.
Oh, you're all doing the half. Okay, fun. Okay, sweet. So you've got, yeah, it's got some family into it. Were they runners before you started running? Or are they all new to it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, my aunt has run more several marathons. I don't remember how
Yeah.
many. She's run several marathons.
Very cool. So you guys will all get to do it together. That'll be so fun. I've heard amazing things about that one, both the half and the full, that it's just like an incredible experience. So I'm sure that'll be really
Oh
awesome for you.
yeah, voted best marathon in the US.
Awesome. Oh, that's so fun. I'm
So,
excited to hear how
and
it goes.
yeah, it sold out within a week.
That's crazy. I don't doubt it though. Yeah, I've heard really awesome things about that one. And there's a couple of that, like even the first one you ran, you said you went state to state. There's a couple of those that cross into like, Canada or different states that are just so, they seem so cool compared to some of the other ones. But that'll be great. Very exciting. Well, cool. Well, thank you again for coming on and telling your story and yeah, just kind of walking us through what it was like to train for your first and second marathon. If anybody wants to kind of follow along with you in your journey, where can they find you?
I mostly use Instagram. My handle, it's basically like a combination of my first and middle name. So it's Rach Eliz Howard.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I'll make sure I link it in the show notes so people can find you there too. But yeah, just thank you again for coming on. It was awesome getting to know you a little bit.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at myfirstmarathonpod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at pay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.